I suppose all of you have been hearing some things about the weather, and I think we're going to have some. Don't know what it'll be, but we could have some. I like to think that the Lord's Day is a special time of focusing our attention and our time upon a remembrance of someone very special to us, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. We started with a time of remembrance that was His desire. He wants us to remember Him in a very special way, and it brings a real sense of satisfaction, deep satisfaction to the soul, to know that I've done maybe a little bit that was in keeping with His will and the desire of His heart. I like to think that each Lord's Day is a day that is filled with the time spent in reflecting upon our Lord Jesus Christ. Just a while back, I forgot it, and I almost forgot the illustration, but someone called it to my mind and said, I want you to give that to me again. I don't know if you remember this or not, I'd just about forgotten it, but it was in regard to how to make your enemies your friends. Does anybody remember that? Anybody? Nobody. Including me. But the story went something like this. There was a king, a monarch, had an empire, had a large realm that had to be covered, and there were different districts and so forth. And at one time, one of these districts of his, it was completely out of hand. There was rebellion. And as a result of that, it had to be corrected. And those that were a part of that kingdom wanted to know what he was going to do about it. He said, "We'll utterly destroy them. We will utterly destroy them." Man, that sounds like he's going to take some drastic action, doesn't it? And so at the appointed time, they went and they visited this realm of his where there was rebellion. And those that were there, when they met, he didn't meet them in a hostile way at all. In fact, he treated them like they were true friends. And he just made one overture after another in which everybody was so surprised, so shocked. This is not the way you treat those that are in rebellion. But after time spent there and the kind of treatment that he gave, the rebellion died down and everything was just beautiful again. And someone asked him, was that your plan? He said, "Yes, that was my plan." You see, the way you make your enemies your friends is to make them your friends. If you make them your friends, they're no longer your enemies. And that was the moral of that story. And I had forgotten it, and they wanted to know it. Why, I don't know. I thought maybe they might be having some problems somewhere, and they were going to try it out. Well, I have tonight some scripture that I'm going to read, and I'd like to start with Matthew's Gospel, and let's start in the 6th chapter, and verse 5th chapter, verse 44. "But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you." That's just a good start. And I'd like also for us to look in Hebrews, another verse of Scripture, or a passage, in the 12th chapter, says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds." And one other passage that I'd like to look at, this is found in 1 Peter chapter 2. This passage deals with the vicarious sufferings of Christ, and that's primarily what we'll be looking at. "That for even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that you should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. For you were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls." And we will be looking at further passages found in Luke's Gospel and also in Matthew's Gospel, but before we read further, let's bow in a word of prayer. Our Father in heaven, we do bow in thy presence, and we're thankful for this Lord's Day, this very special day to us as believers in our Lord Jesus Christ. We have sought by the grace of God to devote ourselves to the Word of God and what it has to tell us about the person of the Lord Jesus. We've already heard this day about the coming again of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we can truly say it does thrill our souls as we anticipate what it will be like to see him and to be like him, and to be in a dwelling place that he has prepared for us, and to know that it is a desire of his heart for his dear children, that they be with him where he is. O our God, this has indeed been a day in which our thoughts have been sent heavenward, and we're thinking about things that are eternal. We're thinking about what a wise decision we made the day we trusted the Lord Jesus as our Savior. Oh, our God, we believe the best is yet to come, and we praise thee and thank thee that we close this day with further reading of these scriptures and thinking about him, the Savior that loved us and gave us himself for us. May every one of these reflections upon him and how he behaved, leaving us a good example as to how each one of us should behave ourselves as those that name the name of Christ. We just ask your blessing, Lord, receive our thanks in our Savior's name. Amen. You know, in regard to what we've read and been thinking about concerning the person of the Lord Jesus, you can't help but think about the sufferings of Christ, no matter where you start with him. Since we know the old story, Since we know God's plans and purposes, they've been revealed to us, and we very carefully followed and looked at those plans, and we have been able to discern those plans being carried out, because we have the record in the Word of God of that divine visit that was made by the Son of God. That one born of a virgin, that one that came into the world to seek and to save that which was lost. We've got all of that before us. We have the wonderful message of the gospel. And we are reminded that the gospel message is that the Son of God, He died upon a cross for our sins. He was buried. He was resurrected from the dead. He has ascended back into the heavens. At this very moment, He's there as our intercessor. He's there on our behalf. And we're so thankful that as we review these things, they begin to have deeper and deeper significance to them, to us, because we believe that we are nearing that time when He may come again. We believe it's imminent. We believe He could come today, could come today, and we will welcome His coming, because all of these things, they take on special meaning for us, because there are things planned out for us. Hey, brother, just so, you know, we're not going to be doing our thing. We're going to be doing God's thing. Some of us sometimes have a little trouble getting adjusted to doing it God's way and what God wants us to do, but no more. No more. We're going to break through the barrier. Perfect obedience. Because that change that started the day we trusted the Savior became new creatures in Christ Jesus. Old things passed away. Behold, all things became new. I mean, it's going to be a radical change taking place for most of us when He comes. But I'm going to welcome it. And we may be a long ways from perfect obedience to the will of God, but no more. I believe all that's going to be resolved in a moment of time. You know, one thing it does do for me, it prompts me to want to get it straightened out now, if I could, if I can. Can it be perfect? Can we live this life in Christ perfect in accord with God's will? Anything He asks us to do is possible, isn't it? Do we agree about that? Is it possible? I believe it is. I believe it is. Some of us maybe have made some more progress than others. And I'll tell you, I have a deep admiration for those that I believe have advanced even much further than I have. I admire them. I think that God is well pleased with them. Because I do recall that one day words will be said, something like this: "Well done, good and faithful servant." Well, all of these things were in my mind when I began to think about the suffering Savior. That's the kind of title that He carried. Man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. Read Isaiah 53. Read Psalm 22. And when you begin to weave all of these things into your thinking, you are certainly reminded that the person of our Lord Jesus Christ is a very special person. He is the Son of God. He is God, manifest in flesh. Dwelt here upon this earth for some 30 years. He perfectly carried out the plans and purposes of God. Never deviated one iota from doing the mind and the will of God. It is possible. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. It's possible. But there's a side of that that we look at when we think about the carrier of suffering, when we think about loving our enemies, overwhelming them with a sense of our love and care for them, rather than retaliation, giving back to them, maybe worse than they gave to us. So I took a look at the cross of the Lord Jesus. That's where I went. And as I began to review in my mind, I've been over this many, many times. I have read this many, many times. I have preached on this many, many times. But I'm telling you right now, it has a real message for us. His behavior and the way he conducted himself was, it's something to behold. And what was accomplished by what he did, in the way he behaved and what he did carrying out the plans and purposes of God, it's just amazing. Now, you can read in the Gospel of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, therein accounts of those things that were said from the cross. There are seven things that he uttered, that he said upon the cross. They're very special. You say that number seven has a ring to it. That's a divine number, isn't it? Yes. Supposed to be a number of perfect completion. And certainly, as I read this section again, and I thought upon each one of those, I began to read some other writers about what all of this meant, and I found it to be a delightful study. It blessed my soul. And that's what we read the Word of God for, is to have enlightenment, have our souls blessed. We've just barely gotten past the first of the year, and we've just been pushing it real hard. Read your Bible. Read the Word of God. Because the truth of the matter is, a lot of God's people are not reading the Word of God. There's many of God's people that have wore some good Bibles out and just carrying them back and forth to the meeting. That happens. Wore the cover off the thing. You read it? Not very often. Not very often. You got to read it. Study the Word of God. Have your soul blessed. Know and obey what it says. Have a real blessing. Well, as we read this account of the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus, he was taken to that place called Golgotha. They gave him vinegar to drink, mingled with gall. When he had tasted thereof, he would not drink. And they crucified him and parted his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled, which is spoken by the prophet. They parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots. And sitting down, they watched him bear, and set up over his head his accusation written, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." Then there were two thieves crucified with him, one on the right hand and another on the left. And they passed by, they that passed by reviled him, wagging their heads and saying, "Thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself, if thou be the Son of God. Come down from the cross." And likewise also the chief priests, mocking him, with the scribes and elders said, "He saved others, himself he cannot save." If he be the king of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him. He trusted in God, let him deliver him now, if he will have him, for he said, I am the Son of God. The thieves also, which were crucified with him, cast the same in his teeth. Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land unto the ninth hour. And now I would like to take in that order in which they are given in Scripture these statements, these cries that went up from the cross, and just refresh our memories. I like to think that the Lord Jesus Christ, as he always does, he starts out by being a blessing to others, and later he himself will be brought into the picture, crucified between two thieves. That's not something that you would think was intended to in any way give him any honor. He was numbered among thieves. These men, if we know anything about them, they were a pretty sorry lot. I don't think there's much they hadn't done, but here he is, he's stationed between two thieves. Two characters. There he is, the one in the middle. Who is the one in the middle? Well, that's Jesus. Jesus. Jesus means Savior. The Savior of sinners. He's right there in between two sinners. I think that's significant. Died between two sinners. Paying the price, paying what was demanded to save their souls. Well, the very first thing that we hear from the cross is, Father, forgive them. Now, that don't make sense, does it? Here you are. You've been abused. You've been put through a trial that is just makes a mockery out of justice. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. I think I've said this before. Oh, yeah, they knew what they were doing. They knew what they were doing. They knew what they intended to do. But little did they know what was being achieved and what was happening with the death of this person that is there hanging on that middle cross. They may know something, but there's a whole lot of ignorance here, brother. And there still is a whole lot of ignorance in this world as to why the Son of God died upon a cross. And what was achieved by his death upon that cross. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. I don't know, it just struck me. What was it like around that cross? Won't be long before shades of darkness will fall. What's it like there? These people. What were these people like? Well, there were some people there that loved the Lord Jesus. But I would say for the most part, those that were there, they were out to get him. A lot of bitterness. Standing back there in the shadowy background, those religious leaders. I kind of think they wanted to hide a little bit. Don't tell me. I do believe that if there was any spark of conscience left in them, they had some feelings about, you know, this is not right. We've done something that's underhanded. But there they were. You can think of anybody that would qualify as a poor sinner, and we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And among them, I believe, there were a lot of scoundrels. And there they were. And he said, forgive them. Would you have done that? Would you have done that? Have you ever done that in a circumstance in life in which someone really put it to you? Think about it now. They really stuck it to you. Was the first thing you thought about was, Lord, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. I'm a nice person. I didn't do them any harm. You see, there is something to be learned from looking at what happened to the Son of God, how he responded, and then taking that pattern and putting it over our lives and say, yeah, and what do you do? What do you do when you're abused? When someone takes advantage of you? But it says he gave us an example. When he reviled not again. Oh, when he suffered, he threatened not. He committed himself unto him that judgeth righteously. Is it safe to do that? Is it safe to just go ahead and take it? And be Christ-like in your thinking, and the Lord knows all about it? And after all, there's going to be a day in which the adjustments are going to be made that put everything right. Everything's going to be set right. I think most of us say, well, I can't wait. I can't wait. You just don't know about my life. You don't know this. No, no. So often we don't. But God does. God knows all about it. So I think we admire what he did. Forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. Oh, that's an admirable thing to do. My. Only the Son of God could do that, though. Oh, no, we could do a lot of these things, too. He put our feet on the pathway of righteousness for his namesake. We still call ourselves Christians. We still like to be identified as being those that are believers and followers of our Lord Jesus Christ. But sometimes we come up a little bit short. When again, it comes to the time that we would give the good example. Forgive them. I'll forgive. I'll forgive. That might get people's attention a lot quicker than we think it would. And there would be people that would say, listen, if trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior does that for you, I believe I want some of it. I think I'll trust the Savior. I'll see if he can change me. You know, that's something we need to give thought to, don't we? Because someone will benefit from it. Someone will be blessed because someone will trust the Savior because I obeyed and did what was truly for the glory of God. Well, he uttered that statement, Father, forgive them. We said there were two thieves, and he was in the midst of them. And I don't think we have to stretch our imagination much to be aware that they really were two scoundrels, weren't they? More than likely, there wasn't much they hadn't done. Murder? No telling what all these guys did. But the Lord Jesus Christ and the way he was behaving and responding to what had happened, and this guy had already heard him say, Lord, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. He might have thought, hey, that includes me. Hey, I want to, you see, already there is a response to the way our blessed Lord behaved upon the cross. And so he, in boldness, he says, "Jesus, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Didn't know much about what to say or how to say it, but he's reaching out. This is a call of a desperate person. And our Lord Jesus Christ does not disappoint us. Isn't it wonderful that someone so close to an eternity without God, so close, I mean his very life is ebbing out of his body. The scoundrel is fixing to die. Never done maybe a decent thing in his life. Remember me. Remember me. You're the one that forgives. You want forgiveness? Well, I want some of it. I want to be forgiven. Today thou shalt be with me in paradise. What a response. You think burdens were lifted at Calvary? You think a troubled soul that was desperate? Do you think he had something to cheer his heart, change his whole outlook on what little time left he had? Today you'll be with me in paradise. Just like that. Just like that. You know, I don't want it to be something hard for people to come to the point where they say, "Yes, I'm ready to trust the Savior." Let's take down all the barriers. Let's make it wide open to them. Some people, you know, have built a barrier around that sin they've committed. "Oh, but he couldn't save me." Oh, he couldn't? He couldn't? Scripture says that all we like sheep have gone astray, and God hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. You think of any sin you want to. You say, "I'm a murderer. I have murdered people." "You don't know about my life." Then they can go into all of the details of what a sordid life they've lived. We think about the world we're living in today, and maybe you get a little older and you become a little more sensitive. Young people seem to be fascinated by many of the things that are happening today, but I'm not. I'm saddened by. I hate to see a young person lose virtue. And yet this thinking world we live in today, it promotes it. It tries to entice young people to cast virtue aside. Not important. Not important. Oh, but it is important. Our God is a holy God. Our God is a righteous God. Our God believes in things being pure and holy. And the world don't see it that way. We need to do everything we can to help them, young people, encourage them. Don't do that. You'll spoil your life. You'll live to someday perhaps regret it. But there is no unpardonable sin. People reflect upon something our Lord said one time, where those people had said that even his work and what he did and what the Spirit of God had done, they ascribed it to the devil, and he said, "That's one sin that's not pardonable. That's not pardonable." But you know, it's not possible to do that now. People do some mighty low, sordid things, but not that. So think of anything you want to think of. And I'm telling you, there is no unpardonable sin. And that thief on the cross found it out. I don't know what he had done or what he hadn't done, but I believe he covered a wide field And he was forgiven, and he went to heaven. He went to be with the Lord Jesus. Well, I can see right now that the time is about gone. And I can, if I'm called on again, I got my message ready. I'm just going to pick right up where I left off and talk again maybe about this. Because, no, it's not a choir practice tonight, but Bobby, we're going to go home anyway. So, our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for the time together, and we pray that it's been well spent, and we pray that we will profit from what we've read and what we've considered from the life and from the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. So, Lord, bless us and send us on our way rejoicing. Send us on our way desiring to be more like Him, the one that loved us and gave Himself for us. In His name we pray. Amen.